Is it time to broach the elephant in the room?
Yeah. So people were questioning if the podcast is going to continue after the news broke.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Chicken Boy Morgan Show. Today I wanted to finally talk about something that I've kept quiet for actually like a couple of months now. I kind of wanted to wait until the end of the season to get into it, just for things to quiet down a little bit. But here it is. Today I'm going to go through the reasons that I'm leaving the OAC, the best or one of the best running teams in the world.
I did leave the team like must be 2 or 3 months ago at this point.
Yeah,
more than 2 months, 3 months. Yeah, now I'm kind of doing my own thing. I don't get to see the team as much anymore, which is pretty sad. I've been working with an old friend. I'm not going to say exactly who the coach is yet, but the mantra that we've kind of been using to guide us so far has been like start early, progress slow. So that's kind of how things have been going. You guys ready?
Ready for what?
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 205. First off, let's just take a moment to say how happy we all are to be back in the studio together.
It feels right.
How long has it been?
It's been a while.
Been a minute.
Studio, yeah. Last studio pod?
I left the start of August. I left about August 10th.
So it was like July?
So it must mean either the very beginning of August or late July, that feels like a different lifetime ago.
Feels like years ago.
So lots changed since then, huh?
Lots changed. Comfy being back. I feel like I'm going to forget my lines or something. Forgotten how to do this.
Yeah, you got to read the script again, George. When they send you the script, you got to read it.
And it's strictly scripted episodes. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
People didn't know it's all scripted.
Gus has actually been pretty tough on us lately. He said that we're going to get replaced by AI if we don't pick up our games.
Yeah, he's been... not like, too happy about it.
That Coca-Cola ad that was just completely AI.
Was it? I missed that one.
They were getting some... someone probably could just create an entire Coffee Club episode without us.
I believe the technology is either it already exists or it's about to exist.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Maybe this one's actually AI.
That'd be real self-aware.
Yeah, everyone's feet just like elongates out. It's like, that doesn't look right.
Always glitching right now.
Yeah. Our life, that would be easy for us.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, except then I guess we could finally sell the rights to the podcast to like Citrus Mag or something and then sail off into the sunset. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I missed the pod.
What I've noticed,
you guys have been holding down the fort?
Well, we haven't really. It's been very inconsistent.
It's been inconsistent. 50% hit we've been holding down the fort inconsistently. But we've had some cracker of episodes. But we're glad to.
I can't believe I missed Halt the Bolt.
Halt the Bolt was a crazy one. Joe Klecker marathon prep was also a great one.
Breaking all kinds of Coffee Club records.
Yeah. No,
just extraordinary.
Do you reckon CS Mag would still buy us? I mean, they have their own little podcast thing going now.
Do they?
Yeah, they've like used our inspiration, and now they have like Aisha and Eric.
Oh, I do love them.
Yeah, they've like thought, well, we need to get charismatic. Fun people.
Wait, why don't we let's add comedy to it, huh? That's what they thought.
They thought, let's add some, you know, some spice. Let's put some spice in the mix, and they've learned something from Coffee Club, I think.
Which it was just for the record, it was an original idea at the time. Like when we started doing this, no one had done like a comedy based, funny podcast or anything.
You've seen this here first,
so we did actually invent that.
It's a grand slam
style.
First.
That meta, if you will, and we're happy that it's currently flourishing. So, yeah.
Thanks for bearing with us through the off season. It actually is like every year we don't realize how hard it is to stay on schedule few weeks.
It's been quite hard this year, I think.
Even more so.
More so because of how late things were and yada, 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 travel schedules, et cetera. But yeah,
here
we're
we are.
Happy to be back. We're going to get into a lot of stuff today. So, as we said, lots has happened. Next episode, we're actually going to do something fun. We're going to do a Q&A. So, if you do have, is there any questions at the end of this episode that are unanswered, Please put your questions in the comments, or if you're listening on audio, send us an email at hello@coffeeclubpod.com. We're going to do a very fun Q&A session next week. But today, what we are talking about is...
What have we got?
The news of Morgan, which is me leaving the OAC team. We're going to be recapping the New York Marathon. And I mean, that's the two big ones. We're also just going to be catching up on what the hell George has been up to. It's going to be a bit... Overall, it's pretty much just a big recap episode for us,
yeah,
with the New York Marathon sprinkled in there as well.
Off-season recap sprinkled in there.
So I guess why don't we just jump right back into it, George? What the hell have you been up to?
Yeah, we should be starting with a bean shout out. But two lovely bags of coffee that brought to us in New York,
yeah,
that were left at home.
Well, okay. I haven't been home all day, to be fair. I've been busy. I've been chock-a-block, as they say. However, George and I were approached by some coffee club fans in New York. We got some
beautiful bag of beans. We'll have them next week.
We will be showcasing them at the start of the podcast next week. And it was great that they came up. I mean, one guy stopped in the middle of the race to give me a fist pump and I wasn't even paying attention. I was like...
Ollie cost this guy like 10
probably
seconds.
Probably 10, 15
Ollie,
seconds.
Ollie was like watching the race.
I was watching the race this way. I think I was looking at something else and the music was blast. Like me and George were like right next to
the loudest music.
Yeah.
Ever.
We were right next to the...
And this guy's tapping Ollie on the shoulder.
And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, love you guys, love you guys. And he's like, fist pump. And he runs off and I'm like, dude, you're in a marathon right now. But all the coffee club love, George and I really appreciate it. Hopefully we still have the coffee club curse of all three of us need to be at an event at one time.
I didn't even notice that.
There is still a coffee club curse.
The New York curse.
And the New York curse does exist.
I brought up Ollie because in place of a coffee bean shout out, I've forgotten what that's even called when we do it. I have a gift for you actually from Japan.
Why are you pointing at your back pocket? I'm kind of concerned now.
Well, because I had to hide it from you. It's just a little something, but this is a gift from a Japanese vintage store for you.
What?
And it had Ollie Hall written all over it.
No way. Okay, well, this is freaking sick. This is a Rugby World Cup Australia hat with New Zealand when you guys
hosted. Isn't that kind of sick? It's the official World Cup merch.
Found in
a Japanese vintage shop.
No, that's official. Way, man. Yeah, it is. Rugby World Cup 2011 World Cup collection.
Can't even buy that anymore.
I feel like this is. I feel bad for taking this. This is amazing. This is what we need.
I don't want to wear it.
I'm gonna wear it. Hey, we're playing all right. We're doing all right. We might not be winning games, but we're playing all right. It was beautiful. Thank you, George.
It's quite cool, huh?
It's so very retro. Cool. That is sick.
And it
has New Zealand on it on the side. So, you know,
it's
a love there.
A bit of a win for George. Right love there.
Did New Zealand win that 2011?
Yeah, we did, actually.
I think you guys did win, yeah. But we didn't make the final, I don't think. I think we knocked out in the semi.
You guys made the next final. Anyway.
We made the next final. Anyway, thank you. That's a beautiful gift. I'm going to put that on top of Gus's. Oh, he just passed out. His head there.
That's the replacement for the bean shout out for the week.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting for my gift next time you go to Japan, George. That's
the
thing.
The hat didn't say Morgan McDonald on it. It really said Ollie. And I think everyone would agree.
Cute. Love it.
Perfecto.
Speaking of Ollie.
Oh, shit.
One other shout out we do have to do before we get into it is the kid who dressed up as Ollie for Halloween. Comp Games medal Ollie specifically, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looked better than me, though. That's for sure.
What a great Halloween costume!
That is a great. I really
got recognized out there.
I think I would like to start a craze next year, potentially starting a coffee club costume. Maybe we could figure out a way we could do like a Morgan Ollie coffee club costumes, where we get fans to wear a costume and then they could win a prize.
This is like a merch idea.
Yeah, this could be a merch idea.
They have to come up with it on their own.
Yeah, so they come up with. They have to dress up with three of us. And it doesn't matter, like, just three people. One's Morgan, one's George, and one's Ollie. And then you guys send in Gus, if you want to do it, bonus points. And then you send in really cool event. We can post it on social media, shout you guys out, and then maybe there'll be a little surprise for you guys, for the winners.
Why didn't you have this idea last week?
You know when I had the idea? I had the idea at Tame Impala at Halloween.
On
Halloween. I'm looking around, I'm like, these costumes are great. I saw a guy. I saw a guy dressed up as a lamp. Like he was, like he had the light bulb and the hat and everything. He was just a lamp.
Could you turn him
That's
on?
That's good,
and
actually.
He had it. He had a button where the light would turn on. Yeah, yeah.
What were you?
It was like
I wanted to go as
a lady
Tom,
or something.
Tom Wang went as what I wanted to go, which was Anakin Padme. Couple costume. Like that is iconic.
Yeah,
very nerdy.
That's always good.
My next option was for playing video games, was the Master Chief Cortana costume. Yeah, yeah. But we went with the Baz, I think he's the director's Baz someone. The Romeo and Juliet 19.
Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah. The Leonardo DiCaprio knight armor he wears into the party.
So you're in knight
Juliet.
Armor?
I was in knight armor. Meg was wearing the costume with the wings, the angel wings. We did that the first night.
That's good.
And then the next night we did a Wes Anderson film called the Phoenician something.
Wow, these are niche costumes.
Yeah, no, Meg is all about niche costumes. And then she's like, she dressed up as like a nun and I dressed up as like this Norwegian guy that likes insects.
It
was
like, yeah. Insects. I thought
no insects. Not insects.
I thought you said
insects.
Incest. Is that what you're saying?
Incest. Yeah.
I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we were okay. Playing as brother and sister. But
I think you need to. Clearly Meg is winning in the battle between.
So she recognized that.
I think you have to.
I gotta be a bit more assertive. She recognized that. And she said, "Hey, Ollie, like you can pick the next ones." And then she realized that might be a bad idea because all the ideas I have are just
amazing.
Just anime.
Meet at the middle.
You gotta meet at the middle. But when I was Halloween walking around New York and it was amazing seeing all these different costumes, I thought, wouldn't it be a cool idea if we had our fans dress up as us and they could make fun of us dressing up as us, you know? Me covered in buffalo wing sauce, Morgan with crutches.
Yep.
Geordie, I feel like someone's dressed up as you before. I feel like that's been on.
I feel like that might have happened before. But I really appreciate the dress up. I saw the photo and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was great.
Well done.
We'll put that idea in the vault and we'll open it up in 48 weeks. I think 48 weeks from now.
48 weeks, give or take.
It's good. Like,
you'll just have to have that idea again, basically.
Yeah. It'll come back, hopefully.
It'll come around, hopefully.
Yeah. Like many of our great ideas that we have on the podcast that we remember super, super well. So, yeah.
Thanks.
George, what about you? What's...
What did I dress up as?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Did you dress up?
No, I didn't. It was in New York. It was, I don't know how you got organized to take your costume.
Meg organized me well in advance though. That was the thing. Like I wouldn't have been able to do it without Meg. Like I wouldn't have done it.
Like, I was in Boulder for like 48 hours before taking another flight to New York.
Which is impressive in itself.
I was just not in a position to come up with.
It's kind of crazy that you did that.
Yeah, that's crazy you did that.
You're like 20 hours of travel ain't enough. Let's tack on another 4.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's what I've been up to. I got back to Boulder last week and... then I went straight to New York. It was kind of one of those situations where I was like, I just don't have a good enough reason not to go miss Clicker's debut.
Yeah.
And I didn't go last year for I went to a wedding in California, part of the curse of us all three not being there at the same time. So one of us had to not go this year.
Next year, I got a wedding as well, just letting you guys know.
And that was Morgan. But man, it's good to be back. Boulder is like, maybe like the last month, I assume, is just at peak. It's peak Boulder.
Peak Boulder right
now.
Yeah,
I think you've come back just in time where
it's kind of tailing off.
Point, like in the next 2 weeks, it's like it could just start snowing.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah. Right now, it's like a beautiful, crisp 15, 16 degrees every day, sunny every day, leaves are
nice colors.
Yeah. It's unreal. I was looking forward to being back in Boulder more than, like, maybe more than I ever have in the sense that the off season was great and Japan trip was great. I had a month at home. That was really special. Spent a lot of time on the farm. Saw lots of family and friends and cousins and everything. But I came to the realization that it's like very nice to have the place you live be somewhere you look forward to going back to.
Yeah.
Like it would have been tough if I was at home, like dreading going back, you know?
Yeah.
But it was the sense that I was like, actually as excited as I've ever been to like get back to Boulder, get back to the boys team, the training, like realized after all the highs of the end of the season that I actually do just like
love the lifestyle we get to live.
Just loves the grind.
Just love the grind, exactly. And I didn't get a fall, like I didn't get any fall training last year. So that's hopefully going to be something I'm going to be able to do the next few months. And just was really looking forward to being back. Back in, I don't know, what else do you have?
Well, you just gave away your address.
Yeah, shit. No, only the street.
And the street. Oh, another thing that George, I think, highlights that is that healthy. Finishing the year healthy. Relatively.
I finished the year healthy. The off season felt terrible. Yeah,
relatively.
First run back, I was like, injured immediately.
Yeah. Relatively healthy, as we could say.
Yeah. Off season sucks. Like, it feels so bad getting back into running. So that also, and it's like getting out of routine and trying to train is the worst.
It just impresses you how fit we get, though.
Well,
you realize
we're pretty precious these days, you know? We maybe not you so much, Ollie. I don't know exactly what lifestyle you live, but like...
No
George,
comment.
George and I, you know...
We need everything absolutely lined up.
Otherwise, it's not as fun.
Just to be able to get out the door.
It's not nearly as fun if you're tired and things are achy.
Like at home, it's impossible to train.
Yeah.
I was just battling through like 5-6 mile runs. I was getting...
Were you ever doing runs hungover?
No, not even. I don't know what it's
George,
impossible.
George has been saying how hard it is, and he actually was just getting drunk every day. Well, that's why.
I'm always waking up with this fucking headache.
It's so weird. I don't understand what's going on. It's so much harder to train.
And then my mileage just tripled within like 1 week of being back.
And that's gone up, yeah.
Welcome.
And so running, I'm just a terrible runner right now. I'm super unfit.
How are the calves feeling? Are the calves in that...
No, see, I didn't take off enough time for them to unadapt.
Smart.
Luckily. So.
His calves are hurting though in the workout in Central Park. That downhill. Morgan. It was not even my downhill fart leg.
I thought my legs were just going to explode.
So there's like a loop that everyone runs around, like the gravel loop.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert and Kai were like, we don't want to do that. It's too busy. It's like rough, blah, blah, blah. Let's just run around the road. But the road is so uphill.
The road is quite up.
They just did the section of downhill and then turn around, come back up, and then just do it again. So then me
and Ollie not in super shoes.
Yeah, we were not in super shoes, so we were just running downhill, and George and I were just like, our legs are fucked.
I got progressively slower and slower because my legs just started hurting so badly.
Yeah. And I broke my shoe. So, but it was just funny with that aspect of it. I was like, yeah, you could just tell that training is starting to come back.
That's New York, though.
That's New York.
You just got to get it
that
in.
That is, getting the training in New York Marathon weekend is tough.
It's tough.
But now I'm back and hopefully just excited to get back into routine. Just made some sourdough today. Just like normal life things, you know?
You could make sourdough at home?
Well, I guess I could have.
But it's not the routine.
It's just not the routine. Yeah. That's the thing.
Well, the thing is, though, you're home with like all your family and stuff. So it's busy.
So, yeah.
It's busy. So we're here. It's nice and quiet. It's just you and Jenna. You can just make the bread and just take your time. And at home, there's always everyone, you know, pestering you.
We're humans. We're creatures of habit. As much as the off season is enjoyable and that like change of pace is nice, you crave that like consistency.
Mm.
Yeah, Not only because it makes running way easier and more enjoyable, but just some like your mental health requires some like just a little bit of, I don't know. Is that a true thing?
Especially when you're doing something that you love. What I'm hearing is that, you know, your inner child yearns to be as great as they can be. And you feel most fulfilled when you feel like you are moving towards that. So essentially, when you're in your routine that's optimized for performance and that lifestyle, that's when you feel at your best.
Mm. Yeah.
You guys better clip that. You better clip that.
That's what I heard when George spoke before. I don't know what you guys heard, but that's what
Morgan should be my therapist.
I think he just was your therapist. I think he just performed therapy.
That was amazing.
So welcome back.
Yeah,
to your inner child specifically, but we've danced around New York a bunch already. I guess we should also mention that there was a race there as well.
The New York 5K.
Yeah, the 5K did happen. Mm. Yeah. Pretty sick, actually.
Patrick ran.
Oh, I see Patrick.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
big news. Yeah, we had, so when we had Joe on 2 weeks ago, we could not mention him by name. But that is, if you are a very astute listener and you picked up that Joe said that there's someone else in the works about to be signed, that is the man.
He was announced Patrick right before, right?
I think so. Yeah. Day before, maybe.
This dude has the longest legs I've ever seen, and I train with Yard Nagoose. He's got some long-ass legs.
Yeah, he's a lanky dude.
Lanky dude, super nice. He said it. He told Laura it was fucking hard, the 5K
the race.
What did he? Eighth? Ninth?
I think, yeah.
He was in there a bit.
He was in that lead group.
He got dropped towards the end, but it's really stacked.
It was a stacked race. It was a very good race.
On both sides.
But fun 5Ks. But I think the race that I forgot about was the New York Marathon. New York Marathon was on.
The marathon did go through.
It was the most ideal marathon conditions.
Oh, when I woke up for my run this morning, someone, it was beautiful.
For someone that didn't run, so I don't actually know, but as a spectator,
oh, it's gorgeous.
It was unbelievable.
No wind, sunny. That's what my perfect mom said. Temperature.
Did she? I said it was unreal.
Hey, mom. So shout out to my mom and all her friends that competed. After it, I texted her, "Great race, mom. How was it?" She said, "Perfect weather."
It was the most beautiful New York day I've ever seen.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and the race was. I mean, the really cool thing about New York, as opposed that makes it unique, apart from the million things that make it unique being in New York, is the fact that it's a world major, a high quality race with no pacing. And so you do get actual amazing races literally from the gun. You know, there's everyone that's in it is in it to win it and to crush. And, you know, you never know how it's going to go. We've had times where we've been cheering at the 10 to 13 mile mark and the fields are still jogging. I don't know if I think 2 years ago on the women's side, they were absolutely jogging.
Yeah, they were jogging.
The
yeah.
men were running really fast that year because that's when they broke the record.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so you don't know what you're going to get. And that's really, really exciting. And we had a lot of anticipation with it being Joe Klecker's debut marathon. I think that was, you know, rightly so, super hyped. We were really interested to see how it was going to go. We knew that his training was going so amazing. He'd been clicking off these 120-mile weeks consistently. And overall, over a year of really consistent training. And obviously, he was really, really excited and maybe a little bit nervous to get out there. And I think the race played out really well for him. I think it was...
Yeah.
You know, it was a pack for a good amount of time. And then Joe, he even said this on the podcast. He already had his plan that he was not going to go with some of the early aggressive moves and that he was going to kind of base off the Americans a lot. But yeah, you could tell from the way that he was racing it that he was super dialed in on his race plan. And he got rewarded with, just to jump to the conclusion, an amazing debut, 10th place. 210, third American at New York. So super hype. It was an amazing debut. And it, I think, sets him up really well for the rest of his marathoning career. I think a third American at a major like New York is always going to be absolutely huge. But when you guys saw him, what was the vibe like? Because you said before you were at about 12 miles, no?
We're at mile 12.
It was electric.
We were, actually. Shout out to On and the people that set that up. It was hectic. It was unreal. I think particularly for George and I, when we first joined the team, we were always told that Klecker was going to go to the, he was going to progress to the marathon. That was his journey or his hopeful journey. So then being around, being his teammate and seeing it come to fruition because it's something that Joe has been not just dreaming about, but training towards for a very long time. Joe is somebody that's quite stoic and very, very smooth, calm, collected character. I was holding up his head. There's a photo on the On thing that I love. I'm holding up his head. George is just below me screaming. Alicia's going like this in the back as well, OG member. You have Yared on the microphone yelling. The whole team is there screaming at him. And you see Joe, he broke, emotionally broke. He got emotional.
We
need to hear that from him.
He got emotional. I know he did because I saw his face.
He looked at us and smiled and it looked like
it lingered a bit.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Ollie said, 5 years of being his teammate and then being there as he ran past, I teared up. I'm serious.
I think it was an emotional.
It was actually really emotional.
The stage of New York is
everything was just in place for it to be supercharged with emotions and everything. Yeah. And I was, it gave me goosebumps.
It did. And
I couldn't believe it.
It was amazing. I think being there as well, that even though it's 10 seconds out of
Yeah.
The whole race, like it was such a big thing. And I was talking to Dathan this morning, not this morning, a couple of days ago. And I asked him, "Oh, how was Joe feeling during the race?" And he said, "Oh, he was feeling pretty crappy up to mile 12. And then he saw you guys and he got really emotional. He got a massive boost. Yeah. And then from the rest of the race, he was just ticking it off.
He looked like he was in his element too. I was like, all right, this is where Click is meant to be.
Yeah, he looked great.
That was still a big lead pack before it
kind of broke up.
But we actually don't, when did it? When did that group break away?
I could not tell you exactly, but like I was...
Because we didn't have a screen or anything. We just had like a few phones up for the rest of it. So it was hard to follow after that.
If you ask me to do a good recap of how the whole race went down, I'm going to disappoint you.
Well, the cool thing with Joe is I think the second half of New York is objectively harder. I could be wrong here.
You could say that of probably most marathons.
Probably most marathons. He negative split. I mean, he even split, sorry. Almost even split.
He didn't wear a watch.
And he didn't wear a watch.
And
even
splitting without a watch.
65-65. So like... That's really impressive.
A lot of 4:59, 5 flat miles.
Yeah, really impressive. Yeah, run. And he was four. I think when Ryan and I were looking at it, he was in 14th, and then he picked up like to top 10 in the last.
Yeah, he closed. That's why he did quite really hard. Well, because
his last mile was ripping.
New York is like the hardest sections are at the end, like when you're Central next Park. To the park. Yeah,
yeah,
on the hills there, and there were a few other people like. I mean, Joe was keying off people like Hillary and Bia, and like they went out pretty, you know, they were with that front pack, but then they suffered a bit in the end. And that's, I think, true of a lot of people. But Joe was one of the people that actually timed it really well, and he was able to finish super strong. And that's when he picked up, a bunch of people right at the end. And that's why he was able to end up finishing so well in 10th.
Yeah.
Top 10 debut. I think he was pretty happy with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sure, you must learn a lot in one marathon.
Yeah. And like, that's a whole new experience for him, I imagine. So it'll be exciting to see. We haven't really seen him, spoken to him since. So it'll be exciting to get his 2 cents. He's now on a private jet with his dogs, enjoying his little break with his wife.
Took the dogs to the beach.
Yeah. Which is very exciting for him.
Wait, where is he?
In California.
He's in California. No way.
Yeah.
He flew on some airline that like allows dogs in the cabin.
Really?
He took the dogs with him, yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
That's special.
It's on his story on Instagram. I mean, it will be gone by the time we record this, but if I'm sure people have seen it on his stories.
Epic.
It's pretty sick.
I love that.
But I'm really happy for him, and top 10 debut is incredible. Also running 2:10 in a very difficult marathon course is very impressive for your first one. So
yeah, and he was able to bang out his goal, I think, of 175 grams of carbs an hour.
He did get it done.
He did say that it felt amazing doing that. So maybe that's what everyone is going to be doing from...
He could be the pioneer for this.
Is that 350?
Sounds like a lot.
350 total.
Yeah. I would love for...
That's just crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, so when I heard he was doing that, I was like, the thing is, like, I guess you would kind of want to go in a lab and see... like actually how much you can absorb. But I guess you also don't have to do that. Well, you should, but also if your stomach doesn't feel bad from it, then
max it out.
That's
right?
Kind of a signal that you're doing it, because like what makes your stomach sore is the carbs not being absorbed. That's like probably a massive generalization, but you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, fuck it. If you can do it, go for it. That sounds just incredibly hard to me to do while running 5 minute pace, but that's what the event is. You know, you got to get those carbs down. And he says that it was massive for him and helped him feel really good. So, hell yeah.
I wonder if he's super recovered then.
Yeah, he feels
good. Yeah, like maybe it's like, oh, I actually feel all right, yeah.
But
surely your legs are still fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's like recovered here.
Yeah.
And then his legs are just like, nah.
Yeah. But on the women's side, it was such a good race. This is actually why I can't really tell you at all what happened in the men's race, because I just had the women's stream up for until they finished, because that was such an exciting race with the breakaway pack with the three past winners all going head to head.
The last three, right?
Yep.
That's so sick. And it was so good.
And then they slowed down for a bit and Fiona O'Keefe caught up, and then Hassan, she caught up, and I was like, holy shit. This
is going to be a crazy
this
race.
This could be dangerous. But then I think they were just kind of like playing around at that point, and they had a lot more left at the end. I didn't see the splits, but they must have closed real fast.
Yeah. I don't know what they came through them, but broke the course record by 3 minutes. Breakaway of three. Yeah. Went back to three for a while. with Sheila, who won last year, and then back to renewed the rivalry of Boston and past years. That's like, I texted us a few weeks ago and I was like, dude, Sharon and Helen, is this rivalry is so good for the sport.
It needs to be more like,
we just get this twice a year, every year, to like best marathoners in the world, both based in the US.
It needs to be talked about.
Flagstaff versus Boulder.
You can make like a good like documentary about it.
I hope someone was making one.
They're both incredible athletes. They're both won, and they're both like at a really, really cool point of their careers in marathon running.
Boulder,
they're really interesting,
and they're easy to follow now at this point because they've been around for a long time.
People know them. Like it was just like when Jordy and I were watching it on the phone. We like Jordy mentioned like this rivalry is sick, and I'm like, yeah, this is what like sport needs. Like, it's just such a cool thing, and I think.
And in Boston, like we were watching those last few miles, and we were all like thinking, fuck, like. Sharon does look pretty damn good. Like, I think Helen's looking tired, and that's what ended up. And this time it was like, damn, Helen looks good.
Like, Helen looked really good.
Sharon looked really good. Helen's like a bit hard to tell sometimes. Yeah, it is. But you can tell that she looks good.
She like they look like pretty even, and then all of a sudden Helen just went, and then that was it. The race was over. Like she just took off
that uphill last
section,
like half mile. Well, I don't know what it is. She just took
off, and I'm just like,
yeah, that was sick.
That was pretty crazy, and like. Having them one and two, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. Like marathons are just
big win.
Big wins.
Helen.
But
now a two-time New York and Boston.
Is it two Boston?
Yeah, just one, two Boston, two New York. Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Fuck.
Yeah, four out of
six.
Six, I think.
I think
wins?
Six.
Like
or seven. She was second in Boston.
Seven. 4 out of 7. You're right.
She was second in Boston. She was sixth or ninth in her first one in New York. And then the other one was second in
last year. Four marathon major wins.
But that's also like
it was so
one,
sick.
Only one marathon. She didn't podium and she was top 10.
I guess we didn't talk about this. And then the Olympics medal as well.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Should mention that as well.
Yeah, that one was also pretty good.
But if you think of all the marathons she's done, she's podium except for one.
That is crazy.
Which was her first New York marathon when she didn't know how to fuel and she was in top 10.
And the first woman ever to break.
Pretty good at it.
Ever to break 220 in New York.
Yeah, it was a 20, I think it was like a 20-year record. Like it was a real old one.
Yeah.
So, pretty amazing.
Amazing. You could tell from the finish that she was conserving, like... I don't know. I guess, again, you'd have to hear from her, but it looked like she had a lot
to say. It was just like a massive kick.
Yeah, it was a massive kick.
So she must have been feeling good.
It was sick seeing her parents there and her daughter. And
there's
a great photo that Nathan showed me. She's on the ground with the finish tape, and it's like an aerial shot, and there's just this massive sea of cameras around her. And it says New York at the finish. It's pretty awesome.
Pretty iconic shit right there.
Yeah.
So...
legendary.
Absolutely.
As they say.
So pretty good day for the team.
Very good day for the team.
Very good. Was there anything else from New York that was noteworthy?
Tame Impala, fantastic.
Well, he went to a Tame Impala concert if anyone didn't hear.
Fantastic. If no one knew that.
How good is a Halloween concert? Throwback to on Halloween.
It was Weathen. I think Halloween.
That was Red Rocks.
That was Boulder, Weathen. Wasn't it?
That was Boulder.
Yeah,
Theater.
This one was.
Boulder Theater.
But Halloween is so good for a concert.
I just think we should always go to a concert on Halloween. I just love seeing people in costumes. It's really funny.
Good.
It's great because people are like, I like seeing people's creative side, number one. Number two, most people, like, their costumes are just making fun of themselves.
What was it, the band costume?
Oh, yeah. The band costume for Tame Impala. Well, as you, I mean, sure, you guys know, like, Tame Impala is one guy, right? You guys know that?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So what happened was the band dressed up as Tame Impala. They all dressed up as him.
And they looked...
with the long hair,
they looked exactly like him.
But thankfully, he came out at the end because then Meg was like looking, going, they're all dressed up like Tame Impala. How are we going to tell which one? And then he came up in the end. And then I was like, we were like right at the bulb area. We were right there with Tom Wang and a few of his mates. And, It was very good. It was a very good concert. It was pretty sick. The Halloween theme he had at the start, he had a Twilight Zone like kind of light show. And then when he played Dracula, he had the lights for that were pretty epic. So that was pretty sick in New York. And I tell you one thing as well, the food in New York is just so good. I went to this Dominican restaurant with Tom and it was incredible.
Yeah, they got some good
grub. Good stuff there. Got some good grub. So I'm just hoping that, like, I'm just hoping one day that everywhere will be like cuisine, food wise, will just be like New York. Like, you can get anything in New York and it'll be good.
Keep dreaming.
I gotta keep dreaming for that. But other than that, it was great to be there with the team. And
what else was a highlight?
Well, we went to that really cool coffee shop. Met you and David Perry and Robert.
Oh, La Cabra.
La Cabra.
Donnelly's. It's Donnelly's classic.
It was very, very cool.
It was good. Fuck, it's busy though.
Yeah, it was a lineup. I went to line outside the door.
I went to this rice pudding place called Rice to Riches I went to 15 years ago when I was just a wee lad. And it's really good, actually.
It's like, still there.
It's like, yeah, same place, yeah, same shop. It's like an ice cream shop where there's just like bins and of flavors, but it's just all the rice pudding flavors. It's amazing.
That sounds amazing. It does sound good. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, well, it might be the only one.
Where is it at in New York?
Soho. I highly recommend it. I got, I want to say coconut. Pretty sure I went coconut.
Yummy.
But there were like 20 different flavors probably. Could have gone half and half, but I was...
You were like, I'm doing coconut.
Yeah, I just sent it. Yeah. And it was a good decision.
Yeah. Nobody likes.
So that was a highlight, actually.
Yeah, I love it.
New York is fun, but it's so hard to train.
Just wish if they had better training there, it'd be sick to go for a bit. Because I was there for a bit longer, but...
You could get pretty good at running in Central Park, but I think it's more just the travel and the marathon stuff is just tiring.
Prospect Park's really good too. That was where Jordy and I hoped to work out on Saturday, but...
Yeah, it was also just hard on Marathon Weekend because everywhere's so busy.
Yeah.
Of runners.
And you can't take Yard anywhere.
Yeah, Yard gets recognized.
Dude, he was at the back of our... training, he was just chilling at the back, just doing what Yard usually does, just coasting off us and getting the work done. And every single second person is going, "Yeah, Goose, yeah, yeah." And he's just running. He's going, he's just waving, and then he goes back to running. And then like Roberts is looking over, going, "Are you gonna be recognized by everyone in this fucking place?" And he's like, "Yeah, probably."
Pretty recognizable dude.
Yeah,
through Central Park,
he deserves it. It's crazy. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that was New York, I think.
Love it.
Good times.
I was holding down the fort here in Boulder, getting my training in.
Mm.
Went to a haunted house on Halloween.
How was that?
It was very scary.
Yeah, I get scared. I get scared. I went to like this one. Which one did you go to?
Terror in the Corn.
Oh, did you go with Mario? One. Mario went too. Yeah.
Yeah, we went
nice,
a big group.
Nice. Did Mario get scared?
He was telling us about it.
I think everyone got scared.
Yeah. Dude, they're terrifying.
That's what you pay for.
Yeah.
Did you used to go to that one in Madison?
We went.
The corn
we went one time.
That was like half the house and half corn.
Is that where, did you guys do a like haunted tractor ride as part of it?
I don't know if we got
this. See, you were on the tractor ride and we went out, right?
Yeah, the one that we did, I mean, maybe there's multiple ones around there, but the one that we did had... It had like five different sections to it. And the first one was the haunted house, which was the main section. But then it went to a haunted tractor ride. And then it went to a haunted corn maze.
Are the people jumping out at you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
The one that I went to with Meg is like, it was like a one that's been going since the 80s, like a family run one. And the people literally like breathed out, like they in your face. It's like crazy.
They're not allowed to touch you though, right?
No.
Isn't that like There's a place in the Midwest where you have to sign a waiver where they can touch you.
That'd be way too scary.
Jeez.
Terrifying.
Dude, there you go. Like, it's all like pretty scary. And then, like, you know that this happened like five or six times. Like, this is like by far the most scary thing, even though they overdo it because they just know it's going to work, is when they get the chainsaws out.
Yeah, because
it's so loud.
The chainsaws is the classic.
And it is like, it's a chainsaw. They just take the blade off it. Like, it's a fucking chainsaw.
They go and like just chase you with it. It's like dude.
That's Meg would never not be scary.
I was walking with Meg, and there was like this corn thing, and the guy comes like Texas comes out with the chainsaw, and Meg ran away. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, if this is a real situation, I'm dead. You just left me here.
Yeah,
it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. Yeah. And I got to conserve my legs, you know, because I'm training. So,
but I do love Halloween. I think Halloween's such
sick.
A fun.
It's great.
It's just a fun time.
Apparently, I got zero trick or treaters at my house when I was gone.
You got to put the pumpkins outside.
The pumpkins were out. We have all our pumpkins lined up. I have all my decorations out.
So sad.
I have the little thing from the gala, the big spinny thing. The big
bowl. I
would
expect your place to get trick or treaters.
No, so apparently there's some people go to certain neighborhoods But Jackson said he left. He said he left out like a bucket of candy, and he said that it looked the same when he went back to it. So, but
it's too bad. They're all going to like the super rich neighborhoods.
Yeah. So,
maybe.
Well, I just need to. I think my goal now is just to put more decorations up. Just keep going. Just keep going. Crazy, and then maybe kids will come and
you be that
eat my candy.
That crazy house in the neighborhood that everyone drives past and is like,
what is that guy's problem?
What does that guy do for a living?
Yeah. He does a podcast.
I think.
And then they'll be like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm thinking like you could go super hard, some running scary stuff. I don't know.
But is it time to broach
the elephant in the room?
Yeah. So people were questioning if the podcast is going to continue after the news broke. And it's a valid question. You know, it's a decent question. I don't know. Are we going to continue the podcast?
We got asked that in New York too, actually.
We got asked a few people in New York. And Jordy and I kind of told them like, yeah, Morgan's put out a restraining order against us. Yeah. And this is actually a simulation. Like Morgan's not actually here. He's like a hologram. No, well, Gus, the CEO, seems to think
it's not up to us.
It's not up to us. But also, he kind of pulled us aside and said the podcast has always been bigger than anything. Bigger than what team you're on. Bigger than what brand you're on for. It's about Morgan McDonald, George Beamish, and Ollie Hoare.
It's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah. And anything, this could be a big strength moving forward, that we see that the Coffee Club stays together. And it has some diversity into it. So
in a nutshell, yes, like, it's going to continue. We're going to keep banging these out.
Just like us going through setbacks, the podcast
will always go through setbacks.
Hopefully stronger.
And come back stronger.
Yeah, come back way stronger.
It's just a metaphor for our running careers.
That's why you got to get shin splints and fractures when you run, because then your bones come back stronger. This is what the podcast is going through, a fracture.
It was just
now.
I think just a stress reaction.
Stress reaction. I think we should grade one or grade two.
Caught it early.
We caught it early. Yeah.
So we took a little bit of time off and now we're ready to go.
Yeah. Now we're cross training.
We've been on the boost and we're good.
Yeah. We're back stronger than ever.
But in all seriousness, I don't like really know where to be. I guess I should just begin with like the fact that, I did put out a YouTube video which did actually kind of explain stuff, but it was like a little bit general because I guess you can't really talk as intimately on a YouTube video as you can on a podcast. But getting to some more specifics, it's like I did leave the team like it must be 2 or 3 months ago at this point.
Yeah.
More than 2 months, 3 months. It was when I got back from Australia. So that was actually quite a long time ago. And but it's been a overall really slow process. Like there's not been, just with the timing of it and just with how I wanted to go about everything, I didn't want to rush anything. Really wanted to just take time with it and just like communicate with everyone, like have everyone on the same page as much as possible. And yeah, just not rush anything right now and just really figure out exactly what it is that I felt like I needed, I guess. And so that's what has been going on in my life personally in the last 3 months. And I guess it also coincided with me coming back from an injury. So that's another reason why I was able to take it more slowly, perhaps, because I wasn't doing intense training and I wasn't racing at the time as well. So it was really a time of rebirth, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, now I'm kind of doing my own thing. I don't get to see the team as much anymore, which is pretty sad. They're off doing their silly schedule.
Silly schedule.
Can't keep up with it. I'm doing a very basic 7-day Tuesday, Friday schedule. So if you guys ever want to know where I'm at, that's where I'm at. But I hope to be able to link up with the team more and stuff. But I guess the reality is like you guys practice together every day except for one. I guess doubles and stuff we can meet up for. Yeah. So we'll see how things go in that regard as things get more into it. I hope once the gym is done that I can come to the gym and see you guys there. That'd be pretty nice to have that that kind of home base.
A big facility. It'll be done in 2030. At this point. They're still haven't had it approved by the city.
So
we'll still be applying for permits.
Yeah, still applying for permits.
So,
but paying rent.
We're paying rent though, yeah.
So that's my hope, is to be around the team a bit more. But that's true of all you guys, because like, I mean, the whole team has been away, so it's kind of normal. Yeah. I've been seeing people outside of running quite a bit. And so it actually has not been, you know, I mean, part of the reason of me leaving, and I don't mean to talk for so long. Love for you guys to hop in, ask questions here. But part of me leaving was so I could do my own thing a bit more. But I've been really pleasantly surprised with how much I've been able to combine, like, doing things in a slightly different way, also with training with people. So I've been able to hop in and go on runs with people and catch up with people a lot. And it's been really, really lovely to do that. And yeah, training, I guess I should say, has been going very well. I've been clicking off good weeks of training. And my goal right now is to get in a big block of training. And within that goal, I would love to try to do some cross country. So shortly, I'm going to go back to Australia to try qualify for World Cross Country, which is in America in January. So that's like the short-term goal. That's what things, like, it's not like I'm really training super for that. It's just like you're doing base training, and it's like cross country matches up really well with that. And obviously cross country is something that we all really love and is really fun to be able to do whenever you can. Unfortunately, as a professional runner, it's not really on the table that often. But yeah, it's been a lot of learning and new stuff for me, but still just taking it slow. I've been working with an old friend. I'm not going to say exactly who the coach is yet, but the mantra that we've kind of been using to guide us so far has been like start early, progress slow. So that's kind of how things have been going. So yeah.
Morgue on the grass is a scary.
Morgue cross country is a scary aspect in general. I mean, we've all seen the clips.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say my first reaction back in July or when
it'd be
June. I think it was June when you told me that you know, you were parting ways. Like, my first reaction was sadness for me and the team, and that we were getting less Morgan time. But at the same time, like, happiness and relief that you'd made the decision, basically. And just like, and happiness knowing that you were on a path towards something that you, like, that was meaningful for you. Because no one, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but no one makes that kind of decision overnight. And because it's a big freaking decision and like it takes a lot of deliberation, I'm sure, and it's hard. And so like I'm, I bet having that decision made in some ways was like a nice like stepping stone to be able to move forward. And so yeah, like I was sad for us to not have you on the team anymore, but also like I want you to be able to get to where you want to go, and if this is going to be it, then I'm, you know, 100% in support of that. And so I'm excited to, you know, to still be a part of it and to watch it. And now we get to talk about it on the podcast, and we have a whole new topic every week,
which is exciting
because we're doing something different. But was that your reaction, Ollie?
I thought it was going to come. I just felt like it made me think that this is probably a possibility that you were going to leave. And then when we had that conversation, I felt happy for you, because I think, and this is part of a reflection from like the past few months, dealing with like the past year I've had, which I've had ups and downs like we all have through the sport. It's like you've been such a huge constant for me in the running world and in running in general. And, you know, I met you when I was 10 years old. And we did New South Wales PWSA cross country, and you were an absolute legend running through there and winning all these. And you were someone that my dad would always say, "Oh, look at Morgan! Like you could be like Morgan. Like you could do this. Like if you do these things." And you were an example, but also a mentor for me going into Wisconsin. And since then, we've been teammates practically, besides one section of two years. But you've always been a constant in my running life. So having that reflection, it's difficult to let you go. I'm sure Jordy will notice. I know you've only been back briefly, but I've noticed the absence for me not having you around, because you're such a constant person in my life for running. And when you lose that, it's very, very hard. And running is a selfish sport. So when you're not comfortable and you lose something like that, you get the shits. But I am so happy for you. And I think this is a very good decision. And I think it's going to pay off in dividends. And the exciting thing about it, like George said, is we get to support you there, but we also get to be kind of adjacent from you. We're still like Morgan McDonald. I still feel like I'm your teammate. Like we're not in the same team anymore, but I still feel like I'm your teammate. I'm a part of your team. And that's an exciting thing. Like when the On Gym and that amazing facility goes up, I still feel like we're still part of a team, you know? And that's another cool thing about running. And to hear that you've got like all these extra resources with like being able to run with different people and being able to train with different people, like it's nice to see that like that community is always going to be there. It's always going to exist. But yeah, the reaction was I was very, very happy for you because I think that decision is really hard. And our careers deserve to have all the time and focus for the short amount of period we get.
Yeah, they're finite. So
they're finite. So you making that decision, you doing that, and putting the maximum amount in is exactly what you should be doing, is exactly what I would have done. And I'm really, really proud of you and I'm excited. And I think Jordy and I are always going to be Team Morgan McDonald, Team Coffee Club. And you're part of Coffee Club TC. We all are. So technically, we haven't really left our team. So in general, yeah, it was.
Now you should get it on your jersey.
Yeah. But you can get this Coffee Club. You can get Coffee Club badge. I'm going to miss you a lot because I've had you as a teammate for such a long time. So, I'm excited for your journey. It's going to be great.
The thing was too, like we all know how good you can be. And we saw so many glimpses of it in the last few years. And it was so hard not to see it like take that last step. And I know that you know it's there as well. And so if this is like, this is really exciting, if this is what is going to, you know, make the difference. And we've seen what change can do in people's career recently.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A Grant Fisher or someone. It doesn't even take that long.
Jake Wyman.
Yeah.
I know I use his example like every podcast, but
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's those examples where you think
we don't get that long in the sport.
No. Make the change, fit that little piece of the puzzle, and it'll be exciting to see that progress and be a fan and be a supporter of it. So
yeah. Well, I appreciate the kind words very much. And yeah, that, I mean, at the end of the day, that is what it came down to, is a feeling of, I've tried this for 4+ years and I know that I've never been as good as I want to be. And I know that like, it's a reality that a lot of pro runners don't ever achieve what they want to achieve in their careers. I mean, that is reality, but I've always been very aware of the sense that like why I do this and like the reason my biggest motivating factor and what I love about running is like really just trying to be as great as I could be. And as you kind of mentioned, like it wasn't an overnight process. It was like months of these feelings of I never think about like the fact that it's like, oh, I'm getting old, like I don't have time. It is more just a reality of like, am I moving towards where, like, am I moving in the right direction? Like momentum, or a feeling of like positive momentum, is always what I want to be feeling. And you know, you guys know, or the listeners know, like all the injuries that I had this year. And it's just like, at the end of the day, if you're having these injuries, you know, how are you ever going to get to that place where you want to get, where you do feel like you've achieved what you want to achieve? And that's the biggest thing for me. Like one thing is like the not racing as well is really hard because I love racing and stuff. That's not as big as like, I really do. Like the biggest thing for me is like the sense of like trying to be as great as I could be, but like missing out on all the racing and the travel and stuff, that's also is hard, because that's like a big part of why you do it. And it's like, if you ever asked me, like, and I think most people would kind of say this, but it's like, if you ever asked me, it's like, would you sacrifice like training quite as hard to like know that you were going to be like healthy and able to compete consistently? Like, yeah, like I feel like everyone would say yes. I mean, putting that into practice is like, saying it is one thing, putting it into practice is a completely different thing. It's not nearly that simple, obviously, but I felt like I had experienced enough and I knew enough about myself as well that I knew that I could do things just slightly different. It's not like I'm like reinventing the wheel with how I operate and how I train now. It's really not that different. I mean, I do double threshold every week, so that's different. But I'm really like it's really not that different. It's slight tweaks that just allow me to feel like I'm on top of things in terms of like my body feeling good all the time and being able to just stack good, solid, not great, not crazy, but just good, solid weeks of training. And that's, for most people, that's the recipe for success at the end of the day. It's not always like quite that simple. And yeah, it's not that straightforward. Never. There's always different challenges that arise. But yeah, that's what I'm doing now. And like when I said my big goal is to just get a big aerobic block right now, like that's, you know, what I felt like I have to do after, you know, a year of a lot of injuries. That's probably what anyone would feel like they have to do. But yeah, I'm hoping that it still translates into amazing racing come the spring, summertime, come games, baby, you know?
Come games.
Those are all the big goals. So, yeah. And I feel like as things go on, hopefully I'll be able to link up with you guys more and see the team more. It is funny though, because the OEC is on such a specific schedule. And so even without trying, because I'm on such a normal schedule now, I see people like so much that like on the team, you just never see for some reason in the mornings.
Yeah.
So it's been weird. It's just been weird. Yeah. Doing stuff different.
We're out, like we're not even in the scheduling. We're just like kind of so out of it.
And I've had to figure out a bunch. There's obviously been a lot of learning things.
Tell us.
Well, there's like just basic practical things, which
take for granted or something.
Yeah, take for granted. For example, getting on the track in an evening is like something that being part of the team, I never worried about. Well, actually, I guess a couple of times we've had issues with tracks, but generally it's not an issue. But then in the fall, we go to the track at Nyward a lot. But in the evenings, they have all their sports practices, and they even have like during the week, they'll have like soccer games. And then on Fridays, which is a workout day for me, they'll have like football games and stuff. So there's been like little silly things like that I've never like even had to think about.
So what have you done to, you just got a different track?
Bought a treadmill?
Luckily, we have a treadmill at the apartment. I haven't had to use it yet. But we just had to go to different tracks once or twice. But then also, we just got a bit smarter and started looking up the team's game schedules to see if anyone was playing.
Yeah. So if they're not, you can just go.
That's pretty basic. The whole double threshold lactate testing thing has been, again, this is something that we've taken the approach of like, start it slow and just like collect data for now, because I've been really bad at it, to be honest. Like initially, like the first few weeks in particular, in terms of even just
recording
like
it,
getting like that, doing the testing, just getting it down and doing it like quickly, because you kind of have to do it quickly, like in the middle of rep, and then just finding the efforts, like the paces for what I want to achieve for like a morning and an evening. Like
what are we trying to do?
I've had to slow down like so much, like I really have, but it feels good. I'm going based off like Andreas's recommendations a lot for, like my training program is actually really different from Andreas's, but for the double threshold days, I'm pretty inspired by him. So the mornings I've worked up to doing 10-minute reps, but I'll do like 7 to 10-minute reps in the morning, trying to have my lactate around 2.0, which I'm pretty good at it now, but, it took a little bit to figure that out, but still, like, I've still got a lot of room to get better at it. And then in the evenings, I'd be doing like 1Ks or 400s, trying to get the lactate up to like a 3.0. And yeah, the first block of training that I did, I was pretty bad overall. Like, I would often run too fast because I would have a mentality of like, oh, like, I'm only running like 520 pace. Like, this is like chill. And then my lactate would be too high, you know? So it took me quite a few sessions actually to correct that kind of mentality and come at it from a different angle, you know, which is the angle that this training is all about, just like just being conservative and like just stacking and trusting in it. And the first block was tough, and then I took a down week, and then I was like, all right, I gotta like really like do this better. And so I came into the next block of training, which I'm in right now, and was way more strict, like way more conservative at the start of sessions, and worked into it a lot more. But it also coincided with me gaining a bunch of fitness. Mm-hmm. So things started, because I think part of the reason why the first, well, one factor why the first block was so hard is because I wasn't that fit. So like my, I think when you're less fit, there's going to be a lot more variability in the data, but now things are a lot more like straightforward. Like I see a lot more correlation between like, let's say like my heart rate and that type of stuff and like what the lactate readings are. So it's getting better and I'm feeling really fit and I'm feeling pretty good doing it and I really, really enjoy it. So it's been great. It's been really good.
Well, I have my meeting with Dathan today and I will be doing double threshold. So
welcome to the club.
I'm going
to
be in the club. However,
well, you guys have already been doing it a little.
Yeah. And I think like he wants me to approach it in a specific way. So
which way is that?
I think he
double VO2.
He wants me to do more VO2, like a lot more VO2,
but not on double threshold days.
No, I think we're
all right. So what's the mentality on double threshold days?
I think for me, he wants me to go like similar to what you mentioned, Morgs, but like I think he wants my lactate to spike in the evening.
What's that?
So do like a threshold in the morning and a hard session in the evening.
Kind of
not
like,
double threshold,
but like it'd be like, I don't know.
What's a morning workout going to look like?
It'd be a similar thing. Like it'd be like a 10-minute effort or like miles or something like that. And then in the evening it'd be 400s, but then in the like the last set of 400s, like 64s, and then spike it. Mm. So like if my lactate goes like three to four, then he wants me to spike it above four for the last set. And do 64s.
But that, I mean, that's like a lot of Dathan sessions are like threshold sessions with like something fast.
Something
at
fast
end.
At the end. Yeah. So he probably still wants to do that. But he did mention double threshold because he felt like it worked well for me this past year. And I quite like double threshold because I think it gets you really fit, but also it gives you some sort of discipline in controlling where you are before doing VO2 stuff. So.
I love it. Like my training schedule now feels really easy to run like a good amount of miles. Like I run 90 miles a week about, and I have like two double threshold days and a long run day. So on my double threshold days, I get close to 20 miles right now. And then my long run day is like 16 miles. So that's already.
When do you do hills?
I don't do hills.
Not yet.
Well, I do hills. No.
What are you doing? So, are you doing like your regular runs? Are they a lot less then?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
nice.
The other days are so chill. So yeah, I don't do the full like European double threshold. So for example, I'll do like instead of a double threshold, it's not every session is double threshold day. I'll do like hills days and stuff as well. Like I did that yesterday.
Nice.
But I'll do like flush out Ks after hills, like pretty slow though. So I'm getting
in the afternoon
miles,
or just right after you mean
in the afternoon. Yeah, so it's my session days is just bigger, and then like my easy days are a lot shorter then, so it's really nice.
Yeah.
Feels six chill. And six doubles,
not yet. I do a lot of like 30 minute runs.
That sounds
oh
nice.
Yeah, you're going off minutes now, right?
Yeah, yeah, I do a lot of 30 minute runs. It's kind of crazy, like it feels real nice.
Dude, minutes are great.
We all came from minute programs, right? Because
I still sometimes do minutes if I'm alone.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like 40-minute run or something.
Will Riz ever mention it? It's like, oh, you didn't hit the mileage.
Does no,
you...
well, sometimes it might be like 0.1 or 0.2 over sometimes.
Oh,
or 0.1
really?
Or 0.2 under.
Because you just don't
if
know.
It's slightly over, like if it...
Because you usually, 35 minutes is usually like...
Well, because that's how I essentially do it. Like, it's not like I set a minute goal for my week. I still set a mileage goal for the week,
but you get there by running minutes.
Yeah, I know, like I'll get it there if I do like a 30 minute run here, a 40 minute run there. Feels good.
3 30 minute runs a day.
Probably nice. It's probably nice thinking of it in minutes rather than in mileage, because then you're thinking about it in time, right? So he's like, okay, this time I'm running instead of like I'm running this amount of miles.
Yeah,
but like that mentally, that sounds better.
And you just,
I think this morning minutes would have sounded better than 10 miles.
Yeah, like
dude.
You're running for 70 minutes. I'd be like, okay.
See, sometimes 10 miles sounds way worse.
Yeah. I mean, 10 miles does sound.
That's the funny thing with me is like, I would never do a 70 minute run now. Like, I would never do that. But, I mean,
but what's, except
run.
Your long run.
Except the long run.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, well, my session days are kind of like 70. My threshold session is kind of like a 70 minute run, I guess.
Kinda.
Yeah. But I'm in like a interesting hybrid place where I'm like taking some of like the stuff I've learned and then going back to some of the stuff that I feel like I can really rely on, like, has worked really well for me in the past. But with just the overall kind of philosophy of like just not overdoing anything, I guess, you know? So
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Hopefully we can have more training chats. Hopefully people are not getting bored.
Yeah.
But that's going to be
a new segment. Specificities.
A new segment on the pod, because now we can, now we don't know what everyone, what each other's
what
doing.
What are you
really
talking about?
Dude, what it's actually been
are real, you doing tomorrow?
It's been real weird for me because I felt really out of it because like I've been away from the team. Well, this is actually partly purposeful, I guess. But I've really like put myself in a bubble, which I've...
You're a bubble boy?
I'm a bubble boy. So the thing is, like, it's not that I'm averse to hearing a lot about running. Like, I enjoy running. I love running. But when you're on that...
I love running.
But when you're... We do a podcast about running.
I thought it was about nothing.
I make YouTube videos about
running. I thought it was a running podcast about nothing. That's
running
what it was.
Running is a big part of my life. But as you guys know well, when you're part of a team like the OAC, it's like you turn up to training and like you, most days you get hit in the face with like
running,
like intense running, running stuff.
Yeah.
And like, not that it's not that I don't like that, but it's like, I just don't think like that's the best way for me to operate. I've really realized that like, actually ignorance is bliss. And if I don't know what anyone else is doing and I'm fully just focused in on what I'm doing, that's probably going to be my bubble of like best performance. And I think I already mentioned this on the podcast that like during like 2 months ago, like I went off Instagram as well. So like I have no like I just have to, I have Cinta telling me like what's going on.
I've sent you so many reels on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's why he's not responding. That's how I feel about Strava. Like that's why I never got Strava. I just felt like it's just too much running.
Yeah.
Like,
I went off Strava. Yeah. I did that as well. And it's just like,
but Instagram is bad. Like,
cause it's
TikTok.
Like, especially when
for running,
just in, I think it's in, like, dude, I mean, I don't want to piggyback off Morgan's stuff, but like, I noticed the other day, like, I was just the immediate grasp of the phone to open the app and scroll to brain rot. I'm like, the hell am I doing? I'm absorbing, like, and most of the stuff I'm looking at is ridiculous, like dumb meme stuff, which is like,
well, better than running. Yeah. For this
it's better than running. But then like...
That'd be more healthy for me.
But then like when there's a big race or something like that and that's all that Instagram is, and I'm like, oh, like it's just too much. Like I do see what you mean by that. And it's just like I wish I've muted some running stuff and then I'm going to unmute it or just like go on the website, or go on the page to see it. But
yeah,
it's a lot. It is a lot.
Well, yeah, I'm never going to tell someone how to live their life and
But this is what you should do.
But
this is
I was going to. No, because it's like
if you want to be successful.
Everyone's different, you know, and I think people would get a lot out of it. But I would say, like, I don't know if you've done this before, George. If you just during worlds, or I don't know exactly what your routine is, but like when you do like log out of the Instagram app, because when I did it was the first time I had ever done it, and since I had Instagram, and then like the next day I didn't go on Instagram, and it's like I didn't miss it at all, you know. And so I don't want to, like, obviously I don't want to be like one of those preachers that's like, yeah, like, well, social media is bad. But like, I mean, it literally is like probably.
Definitely not good.
I hang on to it because of memes. I hang on to the memes, like communicating with people from memes is really fun for me, but it's more the extra shit.
I miss the memes. Messaging a lot on Instagram because I would message a lot of people on Instagram.
I just miss the memes.
You're sliding into some DMs.
I would be sliding into a lot of DMs. I don't do that anymore. But I guess like it's funny because then you control, you have more control over like what it is you are consuming.
Mm.
And I've decided to put that all into Star Wars. So that's been good.
What are you up to now?
What do you mean? The movies?
Yeah.
Yeah? You running it back?
Not just the movies. Are you watching Andor yet?
Yeah, I did 1, 2, 3.
Apparently that's
Andor.
Great.
And do you, yeah. Morgan, I think
4 or 5 up to 6.
I think Andor. I think Jordy. I think you would like Andor because
are you
it's
still
not,
farming.
It's playing Stardew Valley.
Yeah, playing Stardew Valley.
Reading books.
I think you would like Andor, George.
Would like Andor.
I think you. It's just really good.
I don't think I have.
You can use my account. Use my account. I don't care.
Yeah, Snyder told me that too.
It's really good.
I just finished actually, I'm on the end. I'm towards the end of book 5 of the Emperor series. It's like the story of Julius Caesar. Ooh, from like a
that
boy.
That's pretty good.
Wait, I
have you read it?
I feel like I have. By Con England.
Yeah, that's sick.
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
dude.
He has the Mongol one too, which
yeah,
I've read.
Yeah, yeah.
The Genghis Khan one.
Dude.
I'm just finishing the Emperor series.
I love it.
How many books are in the series?
Five.
There are five. So you're the last book.
It's just like Roman Empire shit for five, but it's so good.
Another thing you guys should watch.
Make him sound so good.
I'm advocating all my Coffee Club people to watch is the documentary done this year by David Attenborough called Ocean. 2025. That documentary, I watched. I know when you're on the plane and everything's heightened. I watched that on the plane.
I tried to find that while I was at home.
Broke down. It's incredible documentary.
Is it sad or good or happy?
So it starts off with David Attenborough at this point is 99 years old.
It's
and I don't know.
That he's still alive.
I feel like you guys grew up with it as well as I did because when I grew up, I would watch David Attenborough documentaries. All I did.
All the time.
That's all we watched. He's one of the most influential people as a naturalist and as a with documentaries ever. And he's 99 in this and he talks about what he's seen in his lifetime, particularly when it comes to everything on the planet. But the ocean is something that you really haven't discovered. And the stuff that they've actually discovered over the past 15 to 20 years, he talks about. And then he has these people from all these different locations talk about the effects that we've had on the ocean and what's happened and what's going to happen.
So it's a bit depressing.
So it's depressing. However, the last section of it,
there's hope. All right, no spoilers. No spoilers. I want to watch it.
The way this documentary is made, the way that they get these shots, it's incredible. Incredible program. And I watched it on the plane and I got all emotional and I texted everyone. I texted my parents. I texted my brother. I was like, please, you got to watch this documentary. But right now, my brother and I are going through, because he's here, we are doing something we did when we were kids, co-op Halo campaign.
Epic.
We are on Halo 3 right now. If you haven't seen this on Disney Plus, I think you can maybe rent it outside of Disney Plus, but it's Ocean by David Attenborough. Amazing documentary. One of his best. And he's 99 in it. And as a 99-year-old, he's pretty coherent. It is kind of crazy.
It is impressive.
But I think you would love it too, George. If you need my Disney Plus, you can just...
Halo Co-op?
Oh, no. Do you want to play Halo Co-op? You played Halo Co-op, sure.
No, you'd never see that back in the day.
Oh, right. Ocean. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah. Anything other than books that we need to watch?
Well, one big thing is that the second book in the Will of Many, The Hierarchy, The Strength of the Few is about to come out.
When does it come out? November?
I should know the date. I think it's in about 10 days.
Yeah.
So everyone get ready for that. That's the best.
Have you got your book
fantasy.
You pre-ordered?
I've got it pre-ordered, getting sent straight to my Kindle. I'm probably going to buy it as well because that's how much I love it. Everyone get excited for that. That's my favorite book that came out in the last few years.
The Will of Many. Do you reckon they'll make it into a show?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Like a good one or a movie eventually. I feel like everything gets made. Yeah. I don't know. But what else is there? Have you guys ever heard of the Thursday, I think it's called the Thursday Murder Club? No?
No.
That's what I'm reading right now. My family has a book club.
Oh, cool.
And that's what, maybe we could discuss on the podcast or crowdfund some suggestions. Next month is my month to pick a book.
Coffee Club Book Club?
Oh, we could extend that secretly to a book club. To the whole, that'd be amazing.
Or us three book club. Was that what you were going towards?
Either.
Both. Either.
Let's have the most all-encompassing book club possible.
But that would be fun.
And we'll start it next month with whatever suggestion
that you have, we'll start
I
with
have.
That suggestion.
We'll also carry it over.
Yeah.
Where my head's at right now, just so people get a reference point for suggestions, is that I wanted a book that was not too long, but like something that I haven't read that's iconic. And I didn't really mind like what genre it was, but I was hoping it would be like sci-fi fantasy. So I've never read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh.
And I've heard that's amazing. Yeah. And it's not that long. So that's where my head's at for now.
I haven't read that either, but I would be down.
I will pencil that in.
Yeah.
I think that could be
fun. Coffee Club Book Club.
Do you know what else is on this month? November is the last month that you can manipulate your Spotify Wrapped.
Oh, my God. Dude, I got some work to do.
Anyone just needs a heads up on that and wants to...
I know what my rap
guys,
is going
to be. I've been listening to Charlie Puth.
Wants to influence that in the next month.
My
guilty pleasure.
You're welcome.
I think my Spotify rap is going to be Spacey Jane because they released a new album, Charlie XCX, Tame Impala, and honestly, probably Vacation.
It is fun, like prediction contest, actually, because I don't know what mine will be.
I think that's what mine's going to be. The Spacey Jane is definitely number one.
This year, I haven't had a song that like I always normally know what my number one is, because normally there's one song that I listen to for about a month straight. Mm. You know what's going to be crazy on mine, guys, is it could have a bunch of country in there, because I started listening to a lot of country music.
You moved to the countryside as well?
I started listening to a bunch of country music on repeat.
Did Mario get to you, or was it Dylan?
I think just the world,
the
man.
World.
Do you listen to country, George?
Okay. Country's just like
does.
Pop
Jenna
music.
So you kind of overlap.
That's the thing. Sometimes it's going so poppy. I think last year, not even number one, not even top three. I think I had Zach Bryan at like five or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But he's like the only person I like, though.
It's like, well, it's just pop music.
Yeah. Well, no.
He's the one that he got canceled for like a month there.
I think he's going to get canceled a few times. Yeah.
Probably.
I think they all have. I don't know.
What? The only song that I, every time I think of country, I think of that song is like, I had some help, by
Morgan
myself.
Wallen.
I don't like him as much. Post Malone's gone like full country.
Yeah. I miss OG Post Malone, though, to be honest. I do miss Beerbongs and Bentleys and Stoney. I miss that type of.
But he makes a lot of sense, because I feel like he kind of started in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does.
I don't know. I was like listening to, you guys know the YouTuber Rick Beato. He's like an old guy. Talks about music all the time.
Oh, I think I do know.
Some of people know. But like he was, I was just like, the reason I got into it, because like he would talk about country a bit, like Nashville and stuff. And he talked about how like a lot of people went from like pop type music into country. And then I was like, oh, I guess I'll check some of it out. I'm like, because you guys know I have a soft spot for like very certain types of pop music. And some of the country music tickles that.
Just hitting that spot.
It hits that spot. So I'm like kind of embarrassed about it, because it's like kind of cringe. So like I won't like publicly say it, but yeah.
Just on the podcast.
Not publicly, but just on this podcast.
Just to our loyal fans.
My prediction, I think my top ass is going to be Dijon.
Really?
Sean.
That's interesting. You did mention that.
Or top three. Yeah. I can't remember who else I listened to, but.
Nice.
Big fan of his new album. And his old
You did mention his new album. You liked a lot. I remember you saying that.
Yamaha. Great song.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's how Coffee Club Culture Corner out of the way for this week.
One more. Say, Joji's releasing an album in November. That could change my Spotify Wrapped a little bit.
In November.
Oh, no, February. Fuck. Oh, he released two songs. Sorry, he released...
Yeah, you can start listening to those.
Pixelated Kisses is, I guess, a very short song, but I kind of love it. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
I kind of love that song.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. And then the other song he released,
that's like a
Better From
short
Here.
One, no? I don't know.
They're both
I
super short, one. But he's got like a 21-track album coming out in February, and I'm stoked for that.
That's exciting.
He's from Australia. Well, he grew up in Australia. Oh,
well, he's like Australian, Japanese, American.
He like grew up, he went to an international school in Japan and then grew up in Australia and then moved to America and then moved back to Australia. I don't know.
Who knows?
But he's got some Aussie in him, so...
Yeah, he created the Harlem Shake, so
he also is the
legend.
He's also the pink guy.
Yeah.
Also legendary.
Meme legend turned artist. Yeah. Extraordinaire.
Like us. We're gonna become artists. We just need auto-tune and someone needs to play an instrument.
Are we not already?
I'm musical artist.
Oh. This is as close as I'm getting.
Fair enough. Well, on that note, I think it's a nice place to wrap up. I'm very excited for what the future of the podcast will look like. I think the separation while it will be tough at times, I think it'll make our conversations only more interesting and bring new dimensions.
Diversity is a strength.
Yeah.
Always is.
So I look forward to it. And yeah, we've been a little bit rocky these last few months. Apologies for that, fans, but I think now that we're all back here, we should be able to get back on a nice routine. So we look forward to that. But yeah.
See you next week.
That's it. We promise we'll be there.
We will.
We'll actually be there.
With bells on.
You sit it here now, so we have to.
But it's been, I mean, everything that we say on the podcast, we always do, right? Right, Ollie?
Always.
So I have a proposition for that.
Right, Ollie?
I have a proposition for that.
Right.
Because I really don't want to do it. I have a proposition.
Can I just say before you say your proposition, I'm so surprised that you're so against this. I feel like it's so funny.
It is funny, but like, this is my proposition. My proposition is...
You love some beauty.
Jordy gets to do it, and it's just like a homemade...
How does this make any sense?
Homemade, like it's just a strip.
Oh, you mean he gets to wax you?
Oh. Ooh.
Now we're talking.
So like, I had a long discussion with Tom, and like, I told him like, Yeah, like this is like it's more the pain. It's more the pain.
It does sound really painful.
It just sounds painful. And like I used to swim, so I've been waxing the legs, and that was pain. Like that was painful in the legs. So I can imagine in the groin area it's going to hurt. So my thing is, I don't want to go to a place and get a Brazilian because I don't want to pay for it. So my plan is...
You don't have to pay for it.
Don't worry.
It's on the house.
Listen to my...
We got a proposal.
That's not a good argument.
My proposal is that we'll get a waxing kit and we'll film. Jordy gets to get a strip and just pull it.
What part of your body?
Yeah, where are we?
In the groin.
Wait, why would I not get to get a...
Because it was the bet with him.
Yeah, but come on.
But it didn't say that I would get to do it. So you're already making this part up anyway.
Well, I'm just offering it as a counter proposal.
Well, we'll come up with our own counter proposal. It's gonna
There's gonna be at least two strips.
There you go. I think it's gonna be at least two strips.
Or two strips I can do, but like other than that,
imagine how good it's gonna feel. If you got a proper
one. What do you mean how it's good? It's gonna feel?
Well, like after.
I'm gonna have an ice pack on it for like a week.
What part of your body? If we're doing it in your proposal, what part of your body is it?
It'd be like here.
Like,
yeah, so you put the strip here, so I'd hold here.
So just for the audio listeners, he's pointing right above his penis.
I'd cover my area.
And we've all seen it. I don't give a shit.
I know, but just for the filming purposes, I'd cover that area.
Okay, that's fair.
Then you have that section, and then we'd put the wax there, and then Jordy goes rip, and then Morgan goes rip, and then...
Tom surely wants to go.
Yeah, I think Tom probably would as well.
He has to fly out then.
He probably would.
Yeah. Tom, if you're listening, you have to fly out for it then. But yeah, that's what I'm proposing.
At the Coffee Club Summit, annual summit.
Yeah.
Tom will be here.
You can all be centered around that.
I'm letting you guys film this as well. All right?
We will consider your proposition. Thank you for addressing it.
Thank you for addressing it. It's going to hurt. It was important.
But I'm so scared. I'm terrified.
That's episode 205 of the Coffee Club Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you all again next week. See ya.